Who knows how long I've loved you? You know I love you still. Will I wait a lonely lifetime? If you want me to, I will.
We're all singing along in the studio this morning. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Larry Mueller today. You were listening to The Larry Mueller Show and Paul McCartney and the Beatles there. As we celebrate the songs of spring, romance, and love, along with your suggestions as we go along today, what are your favorite love songs, your favorite romantic tunes? And for that matter, I suppose we'd take your least favorite as well, those that are more saccharine than sugar. Join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What love songs do you love for this spring season? You can also email us, talk@wpr.org. Our guest, Tom Wilmeth, he's the author of the book Soundbites, A Lifetime of Listening, and you can also hear him on his new podcast, The Vinyl Approach. Tom, welcome back to The Larry Mueller Show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what a great idea to sing a little song today, a song about love. And let's start with the Beatles' I Will. Now, to me, this song sounds like it could have come from one of their earlier albums, but it actually came pretty late in their Beatles' career from the double album, the White Album, 1968.
Right. That's from the, just as you say, the 1968 White Album, late in that year. That's a great tune buried on deep on side three. I think a lot of radio stations thought that was going to be a single. There were no singles pulled off of that double album, but WHB out of Kansas City and several stations, when that was newly released, were playing that, anticipating that to be a single. It never happened, but gee, what a great standalone song.
But it also stands apart from much of the rest of that White Album, doesn't it?
It really does. Paul's taken it in a different direction there, and I think that's one of the reasons people love that album so much, is because it's not the same for any two songs in a row. It's very different every track of the way.
I have to chuckle, Tom, because I can hear the generational difference between you and me when you say side three, and I'm thinking disc two. In your mind, what is it that makes a great love song? What is it that makes it resonate somewhere deep inside of us that can make our hearts skip a beat or have us grow a lump in our throat or unleash the butterflies in our belly?
I think it has to have a strong melody, a fairly simple melody, and I think the lyrics have to be something that the listener can relate to. In that one, you've got Paul singing to a person, very specific, who knows how long I've loved you. And again, a lot of listeners can really relate to that type of feeling of love. And also, as you said at the top of the show, people singing along.
Yes.
The song I Will by the Beatles is just, it sticks in your brain, and it's a very easy and memorable song to sing.
Let's try another one from a little bit later down the road. This from the album Tunnel of Love, from an artist everybody knows, the Boss, Bruce Springsteen.
I got a dollar in my pocket. There ain't a cloud above. I got a picture in a locket. That says, baby, I love.
All That Heaven Will Allow, Tom Wilmeth, what is it about this song that resonates with you?
Again, it's very straightforward. It's a very optimistic song of love, and I'll refer to sides again. Side one of Tunnel of Love is all of these upbeat, happy songs for the most part, and then on side two, things get a little bit bleaker in some of the views. But that one is really fine, and that's a nod to Larry. Bruce Springsteen is one of Larry's very favorite performers, and the sound of that album is so great, and a little bit leans on the treble, and it's just, and you hear that percussion there. That's a great sounding record, as well as being a good song, and Bruce does a good job with that. A very optimistic view of love on that piece.
And if this comes after Born in the USA, and it comes without his band, the E Street Band?
Right. As a matter of fact, I heard Gary Talent, the bass player, interviewed once, and the interviewer said something about Tunnel of Love being an E Street Band album, and man, he corrected that immediately. He said, no, that's a solo record. That's a solo record. Okay, yep. Some of the members are on there, but yeah, that's after the records you just mentioned, and yeah, it's got full instrumentation, but that's not credited to the E Street Band. Things were starting to, I don't want to say unravel, but they were going in different directions a little bit.
Well, this
Bruce
yeah,
especially.
Yeah, this seemed to be a little bit of a departure from the Born in the USA, but I mean, Bruce and the E Street Band are still doing it today.
Right. Absolutely. And A Tunnel of Love is really held up by a lot of people, me including, as one of his very best albums. That's a strong record.
Yeah. Tom Wilmeth, our guest, and we're taking a look at the love songs of the season and inviting you to the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Here's the next one on our playlist for today, A Little Sugar and Spice.
Sugar and spice and all things nice. Kisses sweeter than wine. Sugar and spice and all things nice. You know that little girl is mine.
Tom, this one, it might be a love song, but it sure is an upbeat number.
Boy, that one, yeah, that one kicks. That's I love those ringing guitars on there. That's by the Crying Shames. If you drop back about a half a generation from me, people would say, well, that's an old Searchers song. It is, but from about 5 or 6 years earlier, but in the mid-60s, the Crying Shames took it and kind of put new life in it, and Sugar and Spice is, yeah, just as you say, very, very upbeat, and we're still in some of the happy tunes so far on the list. And again, you back to one of your earlier questions. It's very singable. It's upbeat.
Yes.
It's optimistic. It's a happy tune.
Well, from a happy tune, now we go to a song that I can't help but sing along to. So please cut my mic as we listen.
Cherish is a word I use to describe all the feeling that I have. You don't know how many times I've wished that I had told you. You don't know how many times.
Why did the music stop? I could have kept going for the whole song. The association, Tom.
Boy, that, again, a strong vocals, and just that band had a handful of hits and then drifted away, but they were huge hits. Windy, Never My Love.
Oh.
Cherish. They were very Along Comes Mary, early song on the radio about marijuana. That was their first hit. They were very hip for a while. They opened the Monterey Pop. They were the first band on the bill, and again, they were really well respected on a variety of fronts. And Cherish was written by Terry Kirkman, a guy in the band who just died last year.
Wow.
Strong stuff. Absolutely. That was a huge record in the mid-60s.
Do we know if you mentioned all these songs that I know but didn't necessarily knew they were from the association. Did the band fall apart? Do we know? Did the taste of the generation just change?
Well, they had a little bad luck as far as choosing material after a certain point. Not to get deep into that, they turned down MacArthur Park, which would have been, as did everybody else. But that would have been perfect for them. But everybody was like, this doesn't, what is this? But that would have helped their career. But also, even though they've got those lovely lilting melodies and those vocals, you know, the bass player in 1971 died of a heroin overdose, so they were victims of the lifestyle as well. And as a matter of fact, Terry Kirkman, who I mentioned a little bit ago, dropped out of music and became a rehab counselor, as did other musicians of that era when they saw the bleaker side of the situation.
And arguably more important things in their lives. But
The
music still resonates today, and it's amazing to me how timeless it is. And I can't imagine that the association's top songs would be lost even 20, 30, another 60 years from now, Tom.
They really stand up. They're so well written, well performed, great vocals. And again, I'll go back to, they're very well recorded. They're easy to listen to, and it draws you in, and yeah, they're great. I agree.
Let's go to your recommendations for your favorite love songs now at 1-800-642-1234. Susie in Manitowoc, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call. Going way, way back, let's talk Elvis Presley. The best, most beautiful love song ever written is Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
Well, Susie, I got to tell you, you are in firm agreement with our guest, Tom Wilmeth. Let's listen to a little bit of Elvis.
Take my hand, take my whole life too, for
Tom, talk about timeless. My Lord, that song resonates with me.
It really does, and it came at an important time for Elvis, 1961 and the Blue Hawaii soundtrack. And it really, if there was any doubt about his voice or his hit potential, boy, that just blew the doors off. And he used to end pretty much every one of his concerts with that tune. And I always thought it was because he wanted to get the line, "Shall I Stay," in there so people could go nuts. But that tune would close the main set or his concerts every night. And, again, he does a great job with it. And, again, that studio recording of it is just it shows off his voice just great as far as the lower register and good stuff. The downside of that is that Blue Hawaii was such a massive hit that he got forced into more and more movies of a very similar mold to try to recreate that success, and that did not always serve him well, I think.
It sort of stagnated his career, made him put him in a time that kept him from evolving. But, you know, I still go back and listen to Elvis. I could sing you Teddy Bear right now, Tom.
There you go. I'm ready.
We have a couple of suggestions that came in via email. Again, you can email your favorite love songs to talk at WPR.org as we celebrate the spring season today on The Larry Miller Show. Donna in Sheboygan emailed us with a little bit of reggae. The first song that came to her mind was "Is This Love" by Bob Marley in The Wailers. She said it came out when she was in her 20s and stays with her still today. Tom, are you... Oh, yes. Here it is. Yeah, it's got that reggae groove, Tom.
Yeah, I'm glad she called with that.
Go ahead.
Because I don't have any reggae on this list, and, you know, as I was putting this list together, I thought, love songs in an hour, wow, this is a tall order, but let's go. But no, I'm very glad she requested and pointed to some reggae, because, again, very strong material, very heartfelt, and, yeah, you talk about catching the wave, catching the fire. It's wonderful.
So the other ones I was singing along to as quietly as possible, but this one I just started moving to, and I feel like that's the sort of reggae, sultry, slinky feel that a reggae love song can bring.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
Let me ask you this, Tom. We've talked about what makes a good love song. What makes one go over the line where it's just too much and it doesn't work for you, resonate with you?
I suppose if it gets too graphic or too specific, I'm not a prude, but sometimes as far as, you know, when you get down, if you go down that road, that's a good question. If you go down that road, all of a sudden it's like you've got a laundry list of complaints about somebody. And I know that broken heart songs are great. I've got a couple on this list as well. And talking about wronged love, and people like Olivia Rodrigo do those very well.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think, like you said, you can go over the line as far as getting too specific. And if you get too specific, I don't think it resonates with at least as many members of the audience as if you keep it in a more approachable or general manner, I guess.
For me, I suppose maybe it's when they try too hard. It's like a movie that tries to jerk your tears out of your eyeballs and you're trying to provoke some way as opposed to just being real about it and having it evoke something.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's trying too hard or going down a road of formula, like you say, oh, this will get them or this will work or this will work. And you're trying to push buttons instead of write a song.
Tom Wilmeth, our guest, author of the book Soundbites, A Lifetime of Listening, and host of the new podcast, The Vinyl Approach. We invite you to our conversation about your favorite or perhaps least favorite love songs at 1-800-642-1234 or talk at WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn, and for Larry Mueller today, you're listening to WPR News.
Well, I try and try to forget you, girl, but it's just so hard to do. Every time you do that thing you do, I know all the games you play.
It feels like an oldie, it sounds like an oldie, and yet it's pretty contemporary, That Thing You Do. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and we're celebrating the love songs of the season along with your additions to our playlist. Tom Wilmeth is here with his favorite love songs, and that one makes Tom's list. That Thing You Do, that's from a Tom Hanks movie, isn't it?
Right, and it just as you said, they tried to make that sound like a mid-60s British invasion tune, and boy, it does. The vocals, the chord changes. The guy behind that's name was Adam Schlesinger of the group Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, wow.
And very talented guy in a variety of ways. We lost him during the to COVID, which was really too bad. But boy, he did a great job with that. And that, again, that tune, just as you say, if you say, oh, this is from 66,
yeah,
you'd believe it. But it's not that old of a tune. And somebody else pointed out something about that is that song is heard a lot during the course of that movie, but you never get tired of it.
No, I hear it today, and I don't think of the movie at first, and I wonder if that does a bit of a disservice to the movie, because it's the song that stands out to me more than anything.
It stands alone, that's for sure.
Let's go to another listener suggestion here. Dave in Janesville says he's got Danny's Song by Denny Logging and the Steamer as his. Oh, I'm sorry, no. Mark says Dan Fogelberg's Longer is his favorite love song. Let's take a listen to that.
Longer than there have been fishes in the ocean, higher than any bird ever flew, longer than there have been stars up in the heavens, I've been in love with you.
You may have heard me gasp there, because when I said Dan Fogelberg's Longer, I did not know what the song was. And then the first three notes, I was like, oh, I know every every word of this song, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that big hit, Dan Fogelberg should have been bigger. He had some hits spaced out over about a decade or a little bit more, and he was a respected artist and great voice. He should have been bigger. He's no longer with us, but yeah, good choice. Very fine ballad.
Love it. And let's now go to Dave in Janesville, who suggested Danny's Song by Denny Logging and the Steamer as his favorite love song.
People smile and tell me I'm the lucky one, and we've just begun. Think I'm gonna have a son. He will be like she and me, as free as a dove, conceived in love. Sun is gonna shine above.
Well, I'll admit I do not know this song, but I'd like to get to know it better, which is why we ask for your suggestion. Tom, Danny's Song?
Yeah, that you might know that after it goes into the middle section there, but that's from the first Loggins and Messina album, and that was going to be just a straight-ahead Kenny Loggins album, but Jim Messina got so involved that they basically became a duo, and that first album that's really strong stuff. House at Pooh Corner and Danny's Song, and then Kenny Loggins went off on his own, and somebody later said, I think Loggins was holding him back, but because he just had a lot of hits on his own as Kenny,
yes,
Kenny Loggins, especially a lot of soundtrack tunes and everything. But Loggins and Messina, they always had a great backing band with them, and again, Your Mama Don't Dance was their huge hit, but they had a lot of other good avenues of music too.
Let's go to another one off your list, and this one is one that everybody should know from the Beach Boys.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so long, and wouldn't it be nice to live together in the kind of world
Now that's a love song, Tom Wilmeth.
It really is. That's such a fine tune. And that one kind of came back on the scene, even though this movie is very old now. That was played over the ending credits of American Graffiti. Mm. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I remember that song, even though it was only 6 or 8 years old at the time. But that tune fits so beautifully there. And that was, I think, kind of the emergence of a lot of early Beach Boys songs kind of coming into the next era, the next decade. But yeah, that's a fine one. Utopian Dreams there before of just absolutely pure love.
It is the vocal harmonies that always gets me with the Beach Boys, but it wasn't until much later that I recognized how important the musicianship was and the Wrecking Crew studio band was to creating the vibe of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the California sound before the California sound, in many ways, they really are architects and tremendously important. And there's a lot of good material out about the band, the highs and the lows of that group.
Let me see what we have next. Let's go to your calls now. Vern and Boyd, we'll go to you next. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so the song is North to Alaska by Johnny Horton. And I'd just like to make one more comment. Conway Twitty probably holds the record for love songs.
Yeah.
But North to Alaska by Johnny Horton is a really good one.
North to Alaska I am not familiar with.
Way up north.
Here we go.
North to Alaska. Go north for us is home.
Well,
a love
that
song?
That might be a love song, a love of gold, maybe. But, you know, he brings up an interesting point, like I said a little bit ago. To go down the love song path in an hour,
yeah.
I've got Willie Nelson on here later, but somebody like Johnny Horton or, you know, he was talking country music.
Conway Twitty is what he mentioned, right?
Thank you. Conway Twitty, huge. Patsy Cline. We could do an hour of country music love songs. We could do an hour of reggae, of love songs. But, yeah, he's... he's right that I'm glad we got a little Johnny Horton in there, the singing fisherman.
I got Kenny Loggins' name wrong earlier, and it fits with Cassandra's email, who asks, do people usually understand or misunderstand the lyrics? It's called Mondegreens. She said years ago, lyrics magazines existed, and there are lyrics websites online. American Bandstand contestants rated songs on danceable beats, but Tom, how important are the lyrics to these love songs?
I think for love songs, they actually are pretty important. She's right, of course, people mishear, misunderstand, and there's all sorts of funny stuff about that with Christmas carols and love songs as well. But I think the quote message of a love song has to hit the listener for it to really resonate as a love song. And again, whether a word or a line is misheard, it's kind of the overall feeling of the song that is most important. But yeah, she's right. There's a lot to lyrics, tremendously important to love songs. Now you can have an instrumental tune that's, you know, really moves you as well, but it's the lyrics in most love songs that are really important to getting a quote message across.
Musicologist Tom Wilmeth, our guest, taking a look at your favorite love songs at 1-800-642-1234. Jane Madison, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you have for us?
So, Nat King Cole, Nature Boy.
Let's listen to a little bit of it.
There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea.
I love that voice so much, Tom. That certainly vibrates within me.
Yeah, kind of a mysterious, haunting tune in a way. And like you say, the voice without peer. It's interesting that the listeners are going for the really fine vocalists. I don't think that's an accident as far as love songs are concerned. It's part of the whole mix.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me go next to Joe in Black River Falls. Joe, good morning.
Hi.
What do you have for us?
Hi. I picked the song I'll have to say I love you in a song by Jim Croce. It was one of those things that I played for my significant other before, you know, we said the big L word, and it was just really important. So
before you could actually say it, you had to have Jim sing it for you.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's listen.
Well, I know it's kind of late. I hope I didn't wake you. But what I've got to say can't wait. I know you'd understand. Every time I tried to tell you, the words just came out wrong. So I have to say I love you in a song.
There's something about the way Joe explains it, Tom, that makes sense that why this song works so well as a love song.
I think so, absolutely. And I heard just very recently something about when words fail, music begins. And I think that really applies to what Joe has just said. And Jim Croce, what a sad loss. There are so many sad stories in music, but boy, that's a rough one. He had such a solid body of work already, and then died in that airplane crash on takeoff, and just really too bad. I've heard he said something about that song. He'd had a kind of a rough patch with his wife, and he wrote that as kind of an apology to her, which is kind of interesting too. Not that that makes it a better song, but a little bit of backstory on that is it seemed to mean something to the composer as well on there.
Tom Wilmeth, you are amazing at how you know. I mean, you've got all these songs coming at you. You have no idea where they're coming from, and yet you know a little bit about every one of them. Let's continue to test your mettle with your favorite love songs. Jeff and Barry Mills will go to you next. Good morning.
Yes, I wanted to, on a different genre, toss out Knights in White Satin by Moody Blues.
Oh, absolutely. Here it is.
Knights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss.
It just sounds like a slow dance, Tom.
It does. Yeah, that's the end of a fine album, Days of Future Past. Mm. And that was actually recorded as kind of a test album for audio. And they got the orchestra and everything, and the Moody Blues were involved with it. And then, of course, that just changed their career from a kind of a blues band into what they became as far as this orchestral group of again, mainly love songs and some other things in there. That's an odd record too, because it came out on that album in 1967 and then wasn't a hit single until 1972. So that's an odd entry, but boy, that's again a fine, again, I'll say, you know, kind of a haunting tune.
Yeah.
And you had asked earlier about certain things. That song takes different people to different places. It just has a lot in there as far as imagery and everything that goes with it.
I could see it as a love song with a significant other, and I could also see it as a love song of being significantly lonely.
Absolutely. I agree with that interpretation. Absolutely.
Let's go back to Tom Wilmeth's playlist, and the next song we have from him is from The Buckinghams.
Kind of a drag when your baby don't love you. Kind of a drag when you know she's been untrue. Oh, listen, cause you won't have got to say that you girl, I still love you,
I still love you.
I'll always love you anyway.
A little bit of brass with your love song on this one, Tom.
Yeah, the Buckinghams out of Chicago. That's kind of the other side of the coin there. But the Buckinghams, interesting band, very much of a forerunner to the Chicago Transit Authority.
Oh.
Just like you say, the horns are coming on, and the Buckinghams were almost a stepping stone to Chicago. But the Buckinghams had great tunes on their own, like that one, Susan, and several others. But yeah, that's, again, a sad tune, the, you know, kind of a drag when your baby says goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go next to Molly in La Crosse, who has a little something more contemporary for us this morning.
Good.
Hi, Molly.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
So my song that I think should be on the list is LCD Sound System's I Can Change.
LCD Sound System's I Can Change. Molly, why is it on the list for you?
So it just struck me one day while I was listening to the song, like while I was getting my haircut. I'm like, what is this song? Man, it's really catchy. And I ran home after my haircut and I Googled it. And I'm like, man, this song is like, this is it. So
this is it.
It's just great.
And
the band is awesome.
It gets in heavy rotation and it doesn't leave. And you pull it up every time you have a certain sort of feeling that has to do with love,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Let's listen, Molly. LCD Sound System may not be, well, I'm sure it's on vinyl, but it's on the regeneration of vinyl. And I see that they're actually touring this summer. So it's a contemporary band with a contemporary song that's certainly got a beat that's sort of like a heartbeat, Tom.
Yeah, they were able to synthesize, and I mean that in a good way, a lot of, I hear some Daft Punk in there, and again, they're able to make that their own, though. They broke up, and then now they're back together. They've got a great sense of humor. Their DVD concert recording is called Shut Up and Play the Hits. I'm glad they got back together to keep going and tour, because they're a very good band, and I'm glad she called in with that as well.
Tom Wilmeth's playlist, if we don't get through all of his songs because we're cherishing all of yours today, will be up on our website at WPR.org/Larry after our show this afternoon, so you'll find them all there. Be able to build a playlist of your own along with all of our suggestions that we're getting from you today. And we'll go next to Ralph in East Troy, who's got a love song for us. Hi, Ralph.
Hi. Larry Mueller Show is always a must for me.
Thank you.
My song that I requested to be played the night I got engaged is probably before anybody's time here. It was 1956.
Wow.
Don Cherry's Band of Gold.
I've never wanted wealth and soul. My life has one desire, a simple little band of gold, to prove that you are mine. Don't want the world to have.
From contemporary back to, well before I was born, but for Band of Gold as a wedding song, I don't think you could do much better, Tom.
Yeah. Absolutely, and you've got that style. That song really represents that big voice, and you've got a big band. And that's when the charts were still, it was very healthy in some ways, because you had a tune like that, and then you'd had Elvis Presley right after it, and you'd have, you know, James Brown. And so you had a lot of very diverse things going on your AM radio, and that is, I'll call it a throwback, but I don't mean that as a put-down. I mean, that really is a good example of the sound of an earlier era, no doubt about it.
A crooner that gets you right in the gut. That's the way it felt to me hearing it, and I'm not too familiar with that song. And I have just got to say that I love the fact that we go from contemporary love songs to love songs that go back to the 1950s or whenever, as far back as love songs go, and all points in between. It just goes to show how timeless this is. And as you said, Tom, it's the music that works when our words just don't.
Yeah, and of course the theme love, it's just absolutely universal. I mean, go back as far as you want to go, and it's, you know, love is tremendously important all the way back to the beginning of recorded everything, sound, history, writing. So it's a pretty strong connector with people.
Tom Wilmeth, our guest, as you are as well this hour with your love song suggestions for the spring season. And we've got a bunch of emails in. We're not going to be able to play them all, but I'd like to make sure we get them mentioned on the air. And there's still time for you to join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. We'll see if we can't slip a few more emails in. talk@WPR.org. Gary in Appleton has his request, Girl from the North Country from Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash. Their amazing album that, again, very timeless, a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll. We've got another Beatles suggestion here. Tell There Was You by the Beatles. Luann from Green Bay says, If You Love Me by Melvina Reynolds. It's one of the very best, she says, and I'm not familiar, so I'll have to look that up. Tom from Madison sent in a few of his favorites. One is Trouble Me by 10,000 Maniacs. I remember that one. Tom says he appreciates those that are a little deeper in meaning as opposed to the obvious on the level. George and Ashland said April Love by Pat Boone is his pick. Sarah from Nescoro emailed. Her pick is What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. It's got a love for our world and a love of life. Gary emailed us Pussy Willows, Cattails by the Gordon Lightfoot, his choice. That's I'm not familiar with that song as familiar as I am with Gordon Lightfoot. I'll have to put that on my list. Jordan emailed. His favorite is Chris Whitley's Accordingly. And Lon in Stevens Point says, How about James Taylor's Fire and Rain? Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. There's a slew of them for you, Tom.
Well, yeah, Pussy Willow's Cattails is a pretty early one by Gordon Lightfoot. And again, kind of a slow, haunting tune. And the one that I would say about the Beatles, Till There Was You, that's an interesting one from Meet the Beatles. And it's written by Iowa boy Meredith Wilson. Of course, it's from The Music Man. And that's interesting because, you know, now that we look back on the Beatles in retrospect, and Paul did that on their first Ed Sullivan appearance, and I have to think, I wonder what John thought about, you know, that when he, because that's, you know, that's a straight up love song that is it's a cover tune, but yeah, and again they do it great. Paul does a fine job with it, but that's a Meredith Wilson song from The Music Man. Boy, a lot of great things on that list that you just read.
I feel like we could run an entire radio station just doing this all day. If, like, bring in your recommendations. We're Love Song FM, AM, public radio on the fly with whatever you want to hear today. And our expert guest, Tom Wilmeth, author of the book Sound Bites, A Lifetime of Listening, and host of the podcast The Vinyl Approach. A couple more emails before we go back to your calls. We got to take a break, too. I'm sorry about that. Leah emailed Fly Me to the Moon by Julie London, which was also her wedding song. Perfect. And here's one as we go to break. Marion Oshkosh said, Bill Withers' classic, Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
It's just all the hits on the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today. Glad you're with us as we celebrate the love songs of the season. Our guest, musicologist Tom Wilmeth, author of the book Sound Bites, A Lifetime of Listening, and host of the new podcast, The Vinyl Approach. He has his playlist of love songs, and we see that you have yours as well at 1-800-642-1234 or talk@WPR.org. Tom, I'm just dancing along, and it's funny how many of these love songs are also danceable.
It's true. Boy, that last one, I Want You Back, that's the Jackson 5's first hit and arguably certainly one of their best. That's a great tune. That's Michael getting it done with his brothers and such a great backup band. And again, it's a song of regret. I Want You Back. Yeah, I may have made the wrong call there. Let's try to get back together, but it's such an infectious song. You almost forget what it's about as you're just dancing around, like you say.
A couple more emails to fit in here because it's an interesting theme that seems to have struck a chord with love songs. We already have two Beatles suggestions. Somebody else obviously said George Harrison something. It's got to be on the list. Gene in Minnesota says My Love by Paul McCartney and Wings. Rebecca in Woodville says she loves Here, There, and Everywhere by the Beatles, as it appears this band is when it comes to a love song playlist, Tom.
Here, There, and Everywhere. I think I'm glad she mentioned that because that, boy, I hold that one up really high. And I know the rest of the band also thought that was a high watermark. That tune, that's Paul at his best. It really is. That's a great Beatles song.
And I would have said something is George Harrison at his best.
Yeah, that gets kind of complicated as far as how. Go listen to James Taylor's song "Something in the Way She Moves" sometime, and see if you can tell where maybe George got some inspiration.
Very interesting. With the time we have left, let's get back to your calls at 1-800-642-1234 and your all-time favorite love songs. Rita in Middleton, good morning.
Good morning. I am passing down my parents' favorite love song, and it's also mine because it just makes me be in touch with them. I have the sheet music on my wall in my living room, and it's Always by Irving Berlin from 1926.
1926. I think this is our oldest love song yet, Rita, so I'm so glad you suggested it. Let's listen.
Everything went wrong, and the whole day long I'd feel so for the longest while.
Bruce Hubbard singing this Irving Berlin classic for us, Tom.
Boy, I'm glad that got pulled from the deep past. Irving Berlin, you don't hear much about him, but he was so important. And I was going to say this later, but I want to give a shout out to Jeff, the board operator today, who's just doing such a great job getting these tunes and getting them up and jumping over the intros just to the vocals. He is just doing a wonderful job as always. And he pulled that tune up from, again, 1926. But this goes back to what we were talking about just a little bit ago, Lee, as far as what a universal, timeless theme this is. It was the caller's parents' favorite love song. Well, yep. You know, love was going on in 1926 and before. So I'm glad she called with that.
Let's go next to Jane in Menominee. Good morning, Jane. What's your favorite love song?
Favorite love song of my boyfriend, now husband of 54 years, is by the Association, Never My Love.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the second song from the Association we've heard today. The first was on Tom's playlist. Tom Wilmeth, again, I could listen to that all day. I feel like I should have a few Association albums in my collection.
Yeah, they had a night. That's a very good example of kind of a calming approach that they had to love songs. Everything That Touches You is another one, and just very nice songs. And I don't mean that as a put down. Nice songs as far as just calming as far as the person you're in love with.
Let's go next to Michael in Oshkosh as we take a look at your favorite love songs. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you have?
I was going to say Ween. A lot of times people write them off kind of as a joke band, but they're not. And a lot of times I think, like, male performers especially don't write songs about, like, actually being in love. It's, like, afterwards or before.
The broken heart songs, right.
Stay Forever, it's just like a pretty good one.
No, that is a love song, although by an outside artist you wouldn't consider that writes a lot of them. Ween, experimental music, I mean, songs that I probably wouldn't put on a love song list except for this one.
In the morning sun, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. So many things about how much I really love you.
Well, Tom, who would have thought we would have gotten Ween on our love song playlist today?
Yeah, I that is not in line with what I think of as Ween.
But, push them little daisies and make them come up is what I think of when I think of Ween.
It's like the Troggs, who they do Wild Thing, and then they do Love Is Everywhere, and you think, is this the same band? I'm glad he called in with that.
Well, it's very interesting, though, because there are these, you feel like these bands are known for some one thing, but these bands are all, you know, musicians and learn to express themselves, and one of the ways that, you know, when words fail, as you mentioned, music can, they've all got a love song in them.
Yeah, absolutely, and a lot of versatile performers being heard today.
Tom Wilmeth, our guest, author of the book Sound Bites, A Lifetime of Listening, and host of the podcast The Vinyl Approach. Here's one from your list, Tom, from somebody who may be a little more punk than love, Elvis Costello.
Allison, I know this world is killing.
For everyone who has an ex named Allison, not naming any names, but man, yes, I know that is a love song and a bit of a broken heart one.
It is. And again, Elvis Costello came on the scene in the midst of the punk era, and he wasn't really punk, but he certainly had elements of it, and he had a really bad attitude that he could back it up with and was known for a lot of interesting things. It's interesting that song, that gentle ballad, would be the one, at least from that era, that has really stayed with him as far as being held up as one of his most enduring songs. But Costello is, again, he's stayed with us and very talented guy who can do a variety of things.
It's interesting. Our next and last caller here this hour has the second Bob Dylan song from our list. Let's go to Brian in Manitowoc next. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, I would like to, again, challenge the notion that extraordinary vocals are the most important aspect of love songs. I'm a big fan of Bob Dylan's entire catalog, and he has a lot of good love songs, but I like If You See Her, Say Hello from Blood on the Tracks.
Let's listen. Brian, thank you.
If you see her, say hello. She might be Tangier. She left here last early spring, is living there, I hear. Say for me that I'm all right, though things get kind of slow. She might think that I've forgotten her.
Wow. I think Brian's got a point. You don't have to be a crooner to make a love song. And when I think of Dylan love songs, my first thought goes to Tangled Up in Blue. But Brian makes a great suggestion with If You See Her, Say Hello.
You're right. From the same album, Blood on the Tracks. And again, that's a very, very strong record. Somebody mentioned A Girl from the North Country earlier. Yep. And but again, maybe it's just because I'm so used to it. I have no trouble with Dylan's voice. It's fine. It fits the material, I guess I'd put it that way. But yeah, he's right. It doesn't have to be a pretty syrupy voice. It as long as it connects with the listener, I think, is the main thing.
And Bob just rolled through Wisconsin and Eau Claire and Green Bay just a few weeks ago. We've got time for one more, Tom, and for that, we'll return to your playlist and a classic that some may know from another singer, but let's hear it from the original.
And I will always love you. I will always love you.
Oh, Tom. Dolly Parton with a classic that Whitney Houston made timeless.
Yeah, and Dolly wrote that, and she recorded it a couple of times. It's a song she wrote for her partner. She was leaving Porter Wagoner, a professional singing duet, of course, and it was like, I've got to go out on my own. And it was it's a tough tune, and of course used so well and brilliantly in at the end of The Bodyguard as well, as far as that relationship was concerned. And Whitney Houston just again, as Dolly said, well, she, you know, when she started with this part of it, it was Dolly learned to love it in a variety of ways.
As did we. Tom, yep. I want to thank you for an amazing hour of an incredible list of love songs, and I want to thank all of our listeners as well for their contribution, and our DJ Jeff Robbins for making it all possible. Tom Wilmeth, author of the book Soundbites, A Lifetime of Listening, and host of the podcast The Vinyl Approach. Here's my edition. It's Baby from Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise.
There's a little red house where I grew up with an old hippie band in a pickup truck on Liberty Street. On Liberty Street. Dad is on the front porch playing his guitar.
I feel like I know that street. The song is Liberty Street from the band Greg Hall and the Wrecking Ball. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today on the Larry Miller Show, and our next guest is Greg Cheech Hall from the band Greg Hall and the Wrecking Ball. He's owner and organizer of Cheech's D's Fest and D's Productions. And the Cheech's D's Fest is coming up in July in La Crosse. And if you've ever been to a multi-day music festival, then you know. There is something about strangers coming together with one thing in common, the music that they love. And nobody leaves strangers when it's all as strangers when it's all said and done. So have you had a unique music festival experience? And do you have your favorite La Crosse musicians as we spend the next hour featuring music from La Crosse? And we'll start with our guest, Greg Hall. You can join our conversation, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email talk at WPR.org. Greg, welcome to the Larry Miller Show.
Hey, happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've enjoyed listening to your music. Tell us a little bit about Greg Hall and the Wrecking Ball.
Well, as a band, I formed about, 10, 12 years ago. Mostly songs that I wrote and more like a kind of like an outlaw country, Americana, blues, folk, rock. I'm not really sure what genre you would put me in because I played in so many different kinds of bands and, you know, I got a lot of country sound and stuff. So I guess you could call it that.
Well, how important is La Crosse and the La Crosse music scene to your music?
Well, it's a huge part of it. I mean, I grew up here. I mean, as you just heard, Liberty Street, that's about a town on La Crosse. My community has been so supportive of Deez Productions and Cheech's Deez Fest right from the start. I mean, I couldn't do it without my local community. And that's whereas the idea for Cheech's Deez Fest, we have an unbelievable amount of talented people right here in the Driftless. Mm. More than enough to do 10 music festivals. So this will be our sixth year. And every year I try to mix it up and keep, you know, I get some regional bands here and there, but I really try to keep most of the focus on the musicians right here in La Crosse County. And then, you know, other, you know, branches off that, but, you know, all Midwest every year, you know.
Sure. So. And Deez Fest runs July 24th through the 26th. It's held at the Bluebird Campground in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And we'll put a link up to the website at WPR.org/Larry at the end of the show today so you can find it easily. What do you have for those in store who are on hand this summer, Greg?
We got Greg Hall and the Wrecking Ball, the Smoking Bandits, another La Crosse band that I've been in for 20 years. My friend Javier Trejo, a virtuoso guitar player out of Minneapolis. We had him do the late night set last year, just solo doing the loop thing. And he was blowing people's minds. But this year he's bringing his band Kabbalah Cosmico with him. Just a A-list group of guys from Minneapolis. The Pistol Whip and Party Penguins, a big bluegrass band from Minnesota. They've been around for 25 years, maybe. Iron Still, Joe and Vicky Price, Wise Jennings, Knee High July, Alexander Green, Toaster Ghost, Lavender Project, my son's band, which is pretty cool.
What?
The La Crosse Confluence. It is a band of high school kids from Logan and Central, and their music directors and, you know, choir directors, they bring them in and they have this awesome, huge band with like a horn section and backup singers and so many talented kids.
Well, this
so is worth looking forward to that. And it's cool for me, like coming full circle and having my son, you know, he's playing bass and I just couldn't be more proud of my son, Shay.
How very
and
cool.
All those kids, you know, it's really cool. Derek Robnerace, Luke Callen, Kit Mayer in the pack, Allison Sky, Dimitri Rallis, and his wife, Annie Frazier. They're from Minneapolis. They're monster musicians. Don Harvey Duo, Ryan Hannafol, and Sammy Allen, Luke and Cheech Show, Under Paris Skies, Fame and Trip, probably a couple I'm not mentioning.
What is it? I got to ask, because that is a
Tug,
litany of
you know,
guests.
Obviously, Tug, my big Thursday night headliner. Just a lot of good people, and a lot of diversity with genres and you name it. I mean, we got it all covered. Blues, bluegrass, country, funk, rock, singer songwriter, folk, you know, a little bit of everything.
Greg, what does it take to put something like this together?
A very serious commitment to overworked and underpaid. And doing it just for the, you have to just kind of have the love and a community, you know, I mean, my crew of people every year, it gets a little bit easier because everybody's just so into it. And my volunteers are amazing. Just the community support is just overwhelmingly beautiful, you know, and
yes.
Me being, you know, and I've been making improvements in my life. You know, put down the bottle and all that stuff years ago. So like really rebuilding myself and the reputation that goes along with it. And it's not an, you know, it's a hard thing to, it takes a while, you know, but I feel like we're on the right track and every year is growing bigger and getting bigger and better. And that's the goal.
Yes. You know? It's 3 days, July 24th through 26th, the Bluebird Campground, excuse me, in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And Greg, you mentioned that your kid's playing at this one. He's playing bass with La Crosse Confluence. It's the festival's billed as a family music festival. It's family friendly. So what does that mean for families who will be there?
Well, there's plenty of stuff. There's a big, and my friends, Matt and Melissa, they own Bluebird. And I grew up in that valley. In fact, my family has lived in that valley since 1867. And my great grandmother and her sisters used to go around and play fiddle and cello throughout that valley to all the people that lived there. So I put on little concerts. So the ancestral vibe is huge there. So that, and then, but my friends, Matt and Melissa, they have redone the campground. Everything is great. The pool is super big and clean and plenty of jungle gym stuff. It's all brand new for the kids and there's a sand. I mean, it's a family friendly atmosphere, you know. It's just a beautiful little spot out in the middle of the heart of the Driftless. I mean, it's like a hidden gem. Mm. All my friends that will come from out of town are just blown away. But wow, this little place. You know, out in the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden there's just this beautiful little campground, you know, so.
Greg Cheech Hall is our guest. He is the organizer of Cheech's D's Fest, July 24th through 26th in La Crosse, as we spend the hour taking a look at the La Crosse local music scene and some of the bands that should be on the radio. We are going to hear from Toaster Ghost, one of the bands playing at D's Fest this year in the next half hour. But I also want to ask you about Smokin' Bandits and the old Bandit County Fair and how that ties into the D's Fest today, Greg.
Well, you know, Chubba, you know, Christian Staley, he's one of my best longtime friends, and he's actually my son's uncle. So we're kind of related, but at any rate, but no, you know, he kind of set that bar pretty high and what he accomplished in the Bandit County Fair, very, very similar workings to Cheech's D's Fest. I mean, a lot of the same bands even, but really having that regional Midwest band theme, because it's all family, we all help each other out, you know. So I mean, everybody does each other favors, and then he's been an intricate part of helping me, you know. I bouncing off ideas. Tim Lochner, the guys out at Driftless Music Gardens too, he was a huge help, you know. All our friends just asking advice, hey, did this work? No, don't do that. hey, how'd this band do? They were good, you know. And it's just I'm lucky to have such a good network of musicians and promoters, and we all want each other to succeed. There's no competition, really. I mean, there's always a few bad apples.
You know, it's a music festival.
You know? When you're trying to do something successful, people don't like it sometimes, and that's fine. You know, but
it's part of the music festival experience. But at the end of the day, that experience
is a musician in general.
Yeah.
You know,
which, by the way, should tell you, our own WPR's Maureen McCollum says hello. I told her what I had in store for today's show, and she knows you quite well, Greg.
Yeah. I was in her wedding. You know? I've been friends with her forever, but me and her husband, Paulie, have been friends.
Talk about
music with him. I think he was in my first band when I was a youngster, and he's a monster. The funny quick story, the People Brothers band, they need a guitar player, and they call me, and I go, call Paulie. He's the best guitar player in the world, and he lives in Madison. And they didn't quite know him. And then, like, a few months later, they're like, hey, you're right. He is the best guitar player in the world.
And he's playing he's playing with the People's Brother Band all summer. Greg, I want to hear a little something more from Greg Hall and the Wrecking Ball. And this one is from your live album that was recorded at First Avenue.
Yeah, yeah.
16 weeks out on the road, this old boy's had enough. I miss my friends and family and the rivers and the bluffs. I'm going home.
Greg, I want to ask you about the live music experience and what you get out of it as a musician.
Well, for me, you know, it's a release, you know, for me personally, you know, there's just something about the camaraderie of a band. And, when you can really lock into that flow and be present, there's really nothing like it, you know? Cause like, when you got a good vibe and the crowd is jamming and you and your friends are just in that flow where you can't even hit a wrong note if you tried. I mean, you don't get that at every gig, you know. It'd be nice if you did, just realistic. But when it does, man, you know, I feel worlds lighter.
And how important is the audience, the crowd, and their vibe to yours on stage?
It's all connected, man, because there's times, you know, where bands, you know, I mean, I'm guilty of this too. So you got other stuff going on in your life and you're not quite there.
Yeah.
You got to really try to push all that stuff aside and find that presence. And so, sometimes it's hard to do, but once you do and you know it and you can change your tude, it just changes everything, you know? So attitude really depends on a lot of it. And when you're grinding on the road, you know, any musician knows sometimes it's tough, as any job or whatever, you know, but
has it gotten tougher?
Especially now being trying to live healthy, like that's the drug. That's it, you know.
That's the high.
You know, just searching for that.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes you work a little harder and you know, yeah.
Greg Hall, our guest, D's Fest. He's organizing it, putting it together with his friends and fellow volunteers, July 24th through the 26th at the Bluebird Campground in La Crosse. Do you still need volunteers? What are you going to need to make this thing happen at the end of the July, Greg?
Yeah, we could use a couple volunteers, I'm sure. If just check out the website, greghallmusic.com, greghallmusic.com, or Google Cheech's D's Fest. And there's information on there, the contact and stuff, my email and whatnot.
Has it gotten harder to be a live band, to hit the road? I keep hearing that it just, even for some of the bigger bands, that it's not cost feasible to make even a quick tour around, you know, around. And maybe that underscores how important the local music scene is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more with that. I'm like going out on the road. I mean, it's not what it used to be. I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like all my fans, we're all in our 40s and have kids. So
right.
Trying to tap into the younger crowd, being forced to do some of that social media and tick, that stuff that just does not at all feel natural to some of my friends and myself. But I just went to a seminar down in Iowa at the Midwest Country Music Organizational Award Show. They had a seminar, and this guy came and talked about. But you have to. You kind of, I've even hired somebody to kind of take that stuff over. But yeah, I mean, it's all about finding like-minded people, finding a band that play that's big in Minneapolis, because it's pointless to go to some place that nobody knows who you are. You know, all the promotion. And then, like, you've got to spend as much on promotion as you do your music and your product, you know. Yeah. And it's tough. That's a lot of money.
So how important does that make the local music scene and what's taking place in La Crosse?
For me, it's super important because, you know, I've made a name for myself here. And I can play some solo gigs, you know, and make a decent little living. And then, so for me, and it's very important, you know, and then go out on the road and do the thing, but you always have a nice comfy spot to come back to, you know, in your community. And I'm super grateful for that, you know, and all these relationships that I've built over the years, it's great, you know.
It's crazy to me that you talk about how your family dates back to the 1860s in the area where you still play music today, and that your great grandfather and great uncle were playing around, and there's this ancestor vibe there. And then you talk about your kid playing at the Dees Fest this summer. And what do you tell your kid about being a musician and playing music around, and the struggles that, and how tough it is, and how rewarding it can be?
Well, Shay, my oldest, you know, he's seen me go through all these different stages, and he heard me complain, and he's seen me at my best and my worst. You know, so he knows. I mean, even to say, but hey, just to let you know, it's not that it might have having a plan B isn't, you know, trying to make it as a musician strictly is a lot of work. And it's taken me 20 some years to get to where it's working. Mm. The bills are getting paid, but it's a nonstop. So, you know, cause people would be like, oh, well, you don't have anything to do during the week. You just play on the weekends. It's like, yeah. If it were that, if I had a manager and a booking agent and a promoter and a nanny and this and that and the other thing, of course it would be,
but then wouldn't have any money.
But the behind the scenes stuff, the promoting, that's work. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into booking just one big tribute show or a release party than anybody really knows, unless they've done it themselves. But you just learn how to, what works and what doesn't. You just got to roll with the punches or find a different job. Well, do that.
That's the takeaway from me, Greg, is that you
freedom is a lot of work, man.
Yeah, as much of a struggle as it can be, you still find it way as well worth it, and the benefits outweigh the challenges.
Quite honestly, I've got just so much time and invested into it now. I ain't giving up now. You know, I have friends, you know, that are been in it for like a native buddy, Billy Miller. I mean, he's a Grammy winning artist. He's still, you know, just shucking and jiving, just like the rest. Just keep doing anything else would be a lie, you know? Mm. So just keep doing what you're doing. And that was always his advice. Just keep playing music and trying different stuff, you know?
What's Greg Hall looking forward to at Dees Fest this summer?
In a weird way, when the last band is over.
Hmm.
No. I'm looking forward to just, it's really fun for me to sit in the heart of it all and just watch all these people having fun and the kids having fun and family, you know, nobody's getting crazy. Nobody's getting out of hand. Everybody's super cool. We're all about the same goal to keep this beautiful thing alive and well. And, you know, and just the smiles on people's faces and the gratitude that I get from people too. That's, to me, that's the most important thing. And providing a cool thing for my friends to play at, because it's hard to get into some of these festivals. It really is. If you don't know the it's tough. So I'm glad that I can show or give these, my fellow local musicians, this is our thing, you know. It's hard, you know, and trying to keep the ticket price low so a family can afford to come out. You know, because I've seen the price tags on these bigger festivals. for one of their tickets, you could bring your whole family to Deez Fest.
Sure, and sure.
Quite frankly, I think the musician quality ain't. The only difference between some of us is more people know who we are than others. To me, that's the only difference.
We're
all good.
We've sort of been talking around it a little bit, but I want you to directly address it, how important it is to go out and see and support live music.
Than ever. And buy merch, you know. Don't look it up on Spotify. If you really want to help a band out, go pay their ticket. Don't ask. Don't have... I get bombarded by guest list requests sometimes. Like, come on, pay the $10. You know, pay the cover, buy the merch, support the band, you know, and have fun doing it, because it takes work. You know, as any musician knows, it's a lot of work to to bring this product, get it out in the open, you know. So,
Hey, the next band that we'll be talking to here today on the Larry Mueller Show is Toaster Ghost, which is also one of the bands on your lineup for this summer's Deez Fest, July 24th absolutely. Through 26th. What can you tell us about this band, Greg?
They're awesome. I've been trying to get them the last few years. Corey, their drummer, actually used to play in Greg Hall and the Wrecking Ball.
Huh.
And I just like their style, and they kind of do their own thing, and they're very different from the usual bands that we get out there, and they got their own thing going, and that's what I like about it. And the musicianship is good, and I know they practice every week, and they do it for the right reasons, and they're good people, and I just want to support, because mainly I'd really try to support the people out there writing their own stuff. You know, I don't really have any cover bands,
or, sure,
not that I'm against that or covers, because I make a living off that, but when it comes to my festival, I want to support the people out there making music that have an album out, you know. So just trying to keep that same theme, you know.
Hard to ignore how interconnected all these bands are, how the music scene is able to sustain itself in the community of La Crosse, and how timeless it is, and how far it goes back to the land where you are today. Greg Hall, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I hope I didn't babble too much. I had a lot of coffee this morning.
You are a much welcome guest, and we're looking forward to Cheech's Deez Fest this summer. We'll put a link up. We'll find the link on our website, wpr.org/Larry. If you can't wait, greghallmusic.com. That's G-R-E-G-G, hallmusic.com. And by way of full disclosure, Cheech's Deez Fest is one of Wisconsin Public Radio's many business sponsors. As mentioned, we were talking before about Toaster Ghost. They join us next, but before we go, a little more from Greg Hall and the Wrecking Ball. This song is Glow. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show.
She's the only one for me. The only face I want to see. Each and every single.
Don't you know everyone's a clown? Circus freaks—they are of the town.
The song "We Become Ghosts" from our next guest, Toaster Ghost. Joining us now, I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today on The Larry Mueller Show, and we're taking a look at the local music scene in La Crosse, and La Crosse-based band Toaster Ghost, our guest. They'll also be playing at Deez Fest, which we heard earlier from Greg Hall. Joining us, Christian Sven is here. He's a guitar player and the lead singer, and Jerry Miller is also with us. He's Toaster Ghost's bass player, vocalist, and it says here, I'm required to say it, extraterrestrial noisemaker. Indeed. Christian and Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jerry, I have to ask what it takes to make an extraterrestrial noisemaker and whether or not you can make a living out of it.
Well, the living part remains to be seen, but to get there, it just takes a lot of courage.
Mostly courage. I understand that. Christian, tell us a little bit about Toaster Ghost.
Well, Toaster Ghost, we've been going for about 5-6 years now, and just kind of a local project that I started with. Initially, it was a guy that I worked with, and we kind of grew it into this band and found Jerry and Corey, our drummer. And, you know, it started as just something that we wanted to do something a little different. And, you know, had these sounds and these songs that we kind of just formed into something different. So, I don't know, we all worked together. We all thought of music in a similar way. We kind of complemented each other. So it was rather effortless for as weird as it, you know, as weird as it came, it was pretty natural for us.
How do you describe your sound?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's the toughest question. Everybody hears their own thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. And we just heard We Become Ghosts, and this is a song that came out of COVID, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so this was off of our second release. And at that time, it was, you know, we were kind of hunkering down and quarantining. And at that time, we weren't really meeting up as a full band. And so I had been digging through outtakes of other songs that we had previously recorded. And I found outtakes from this one specific song that I liked the drums on like a single second of it. And so I looped that. And I found another part towards the end of that phrase, that same phrase. And so it was like 2 seconds, and I split up each little thing of it. And then I looped both of those together and then created kind of a drum loop. And then from that, we met up. It was Jeff, our other guitar player at the time, and Jerry and I basically spent the afternoon in my apartment, and we wrote a song around just a drum loop. And that turned into that song.
Yeah, it's a real rhythmic one. I want to know from both of you, and I'll start with you, Jerry, where your love for music comes from. Like, how did you get into music? How did you learn to pick up the bass? And what keeps you going with it today?
So the origin story is that back in high school, I had two friends who both played guitar.
Yeah.
And I played nothing. I had no musical lessons, had no musical know-how whatsoever. And as teenagers are oft wont to do, we were sitting around the lunch table mythologizing about how cool it would be to have a rock and roll band. And they said, hey, you should join our rock band. I said, well, I don't play anything. I said, well, we need a bass player. And I said, well, if you get me a bass, I'll learn to play it. And they called my bluff. they showed up at my door with the bass, and they said, here you go, learn how to play it. So I did.
And what keeps you going on the bass today?
Oh, you know, if you have music in you in that sense, like you just the desire to play, to share that, you know, there's a private side to it where you enjoy doing it for its own sake. But then there's the social side, the collective side, the part of it where you know that there are people out there that come together to laugh and have a good time and be encouraging to one another, whether they're musicians or just music fans in general. There's such a groundswell of support in the lacrosse community for live music.
That's interesting.
Why would anybody not
want to
do this?
Exactly. You got to be in a band at least once. And I've had both experiences. And the way you describe it, Jerry, I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, well, I remember sports in high school, and the practices were grueling and awful, but you got through it for the sake of getting to the game, which was the fun part. But then I was in a band in high school, and the practices, well, is sometimes those were more fun than the actual shows.
For sure. We we love our practice times. Sometimes we talk more than we play because we just enjoy each other's company so much.
Yeah, there's a camaraderie there. And there's also that moment where you become more than the sum of your parts, which I can't imagine that, you know, there's just no better feeling that you're just part of something bigger than yourself. Christian, I'll turn to you now about your background in music, how you got into it, and what keeps you going.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, I've kind of always had music in the house, and my mom has been a piano teacher for many, many years. And so it was just like, just always surrounded by music in one way or another. You know, and in high school and you know, grade school and all up to that, played the trumpet and sang a little bit, but never really like thought of guitar as like, well, I never really had like a proper outlet for it until I went to college. And so I messed around with it a little bit, but I didn't know, you know, I grew up in a pretty small town and so didn't really have access to like bands to play in or anything like that. And then I went to college and, you know, people wanted to form little cover bands here and there. And I was like, oh, this is pretty fun, you know? And then, after that, I started working over at Dave's Guitar Shop and I met people more and more who were just like kind of on the same wavelength of me, as me for, you know, different bands that I didn't know that I was gonna like love, you know, certain bands. And then people would introduce me to all these, you know, new genres and bands and things. And that just opened the doors for me. So I think really from college on after, it just became like, I don't really want to do anything else besides play my guitar. Like, it just, I love it.
All I want to do is bang on the drums all day. I think I've heard that before. Let's hear another song from our guest, Toaster Ghost, and our friends Christian and Jerry, who are from the band. This is VCR Teeth. Jerry Miller, this is a rock and roll song. I've got to think you guys are a rock and roll band. What's the story behind this song?
What is the story? I might have to pitch that over to Christian for the real inside scoop on that.
Christian's Van, VCR Teeth. Where did this come from?
Yeah, so I mean, this was a song that I had kind of been kicking around as like an idea as part of the song. And I had the verse kind of done and like the guitar layers for the verse done. But as often the case, I had no idea where to go from there, you know. And so I kind of asked Jerry for his guidance on the rest of the song, really. The other sections, he jumped in and kind of, you know, crafted them. And we went from there. We had a lot of help on it outside of the band as well, too, which was kind of fun. At the time, one of our friends from Australia, his name's Hugh, he sang harmonies, backing harmonies on this one. And Jerry, actually, his son Gabe, played bells at the end of the track. If you listen to it, there's kind of the outro, and his son Gabe is there playing the bells on it.
Jerry, you passed it off to Christian, but you had the story from it as your kids on the track.
Yeah, that was kind of a fun little bonus. You know, little ear candy at the end, kind of bring back a little melodic little part just to make it more interesting.
Yeah, is Gabe a musician like yourself?
So he played percussion in middle school and high school, and so he picked it up super fast. It took no time at all for him to like, oh, you want something like this? And he whipped it out. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly it.
Well, maybe he'll be playing at D's Fest sometime soon, too.
I could get him up there.
Very cool. Christian, where does the song come from? I mean, how does a song develop? And you know, does it fall to you out of thin air? How would you describe the process?
You know, every song is a little different, but that one, I think one night I was just sitting down playing some chords and I messed up and I played a wrong chord somewhere and I went, wait a minute. Oh, I like how that sounded. So then I went back and it just like, usually when I'm trying to like find a new riff or a new part of a song, I'll have my phone recording too. So I can kind of go back and listen to it. And then, so I, you know, kind of continued to do that. And then within, you know, maybe an hour or so, I just had messed around to the point where I'm like, oh, I like how these chords kind of all go together. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I should save that, you know, and see if I can get some help, turn it into something, you know?
Yeah, I've heard it said that there are no wrong notes. It just depends on what you play after that note, that you can always resolve a note no matter where you take it or where it takes you for that matter. Jerry, do you have any theories about music composition and where songs come from?
I think we all come to it with some presuppositions based on our experience, whether that's with a formal introduction to music in school or just someone who likes it and listens to it a lot. That kind of showed itself to be true when we first got together, and it kind of discussed this Venn diagram of influences that we all shared. And, as is probably often the case, we started by learning a couple cover songs that everyone said, "Oh, I like that song. I like that artist. Let's play one of their songs." There's just an intuition that develops kind of subconsciously, and your ear says, "Yes, that sounds good." Why does it sound good? Hard to say. maybe it reminds you of something that you've heard and liked. We don't crunch the math on it. There's no like theory going, "Well, technically you should be using an augmented seventh chord for that." There's none of that.
The minor fifth. It's the way it feels. It's the way it makes you move. Our guests are Christian Sven and Jerry Miller from Toaster Ghost out of the La Crosse area, and I've been monopolizing their time for too long here, so let me invite you to the conversation with your questions about the La Crosse music scene or their band and music. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, as Frank did, because Frank wants to know where you got the name Toaster Ghost.
Well, Frank, let me be frank with you. That was kind of an accident. We had like a piece of paper that had just different name ideas on it, and we kind of liked
some
of them.
Two pages of
names. Oh yeah, and so like I don't even remember what the original name was, but I said it, and from across the room, somebody else said, "Oh, did you say Toaster Ghost?" I went, "No, but I like that better. That's it. That's the name." So, shout out to my friend Brandon for coming up with the name on accident.
Toaster Ghost, complete accident, pulled out of thin air. Actually, one of those misheard things like Mondegreens that we talked about last hour. You're also on the bill for this summer's Cheech's Deez Fest in La Crosse. And Jerry, what are you looking forward to when you play the festivals?
Oh, gosh. It's nice to not have the pressure of being it all about you,
Yeah.
You get to share in this event with so many other people. It's relaxing. It really is.
Christian?
Outside. Yeah.
I think, kind of what he said, just being able to mingle with other bands, other like-minded folks and just kind of be in a new setting, it's fun and you never know what you're going to get yourself into, but it's going to be fun.
Toaster Ghost, our guest, and we'll hear some more music from them next. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Larry Miller Show on WPR News. Whoa, that was Understellar from our guest, the band Toaster Ghost. Guitarist and lead singer Christian Sven, our guest. Jerry Miller's the bass player, vocalist, and extraterrestrial noisemaker. Still time for your questions for this band at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email talk@WPR.org. Christian, tell us about Understellar. It just about blew my mind.
Well, this was off of our first album. We had, gone into it trying to write a song in a different way that we hadn't approached it before, and that was with the drums first.
Huh.
So we talked to Corey and kind of gave him a couple of songs that we thought would be a good groove to kind of model the drum part after, which I think in this case it was the Beatles' Tomorrow Never Knows,
yeah,
and then Radiohead's The National Anthem. So we kind of gave him those songs and said, like, you know, similar tempo, similar feel. And basically he just put a metronome in his ears and played, you know, and for like 5 minutes straight. This was, you know, in the moment, we didn't know what it was going to turn into. We were just like, oh, cool. He's just playing drums. And, but I had the feeling like he played for about two and a half minutes. And then still had the metronome in his headphones and stopped for a little bit. And I said, well, actually, you know, do you want to play just a little bit more? And he said, okay, sure. And so, he, like, for about two bars, he just had a break and then goes right back into it on the beat. And if you listen to the song, that's the take we used. That's exactly how it appears in the song. And so we wrote the song around that. I had, I think, one other sketch of like what the song could be based on what the drums started out as, but I think I was more happy, you know, with what we ended up going with.
And Jerry, you're part of that rhythm section that has to work in concert with the drums. What's that like to try to find that groove, that backbeat, and build it?
It's playing with Corey is a breeze. He's easy to lock up with and sync with. Yeah, I think the drummer and bass players have a unique relationship in that sense. And, yeah, we fell together so quickly and so easily. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, what was it like to build Under Stellar just from him building a track out of a drum track out of nothing?
It's a different way to approach it, you know, rather than a chord progression or something along those lines. And so it was more rhythmic. And you didn't pay attention to, you know, 1-4-5 or a progression of any, you know, particular order, major, minor. None of those qualifications mattered. It was just about the rhythm of it. It was a refreshing way to come at it. And that song has become kind of an improv for us live. Like, we know the basics of how it's structured.
Mm.
But really what happens between it starts and stops, we can look at each other in the moment and know when we're going to take a break, when we're going to do something different. Really fun to do live.
Let the moment decide the song.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones now, where Andy in Galesville joins us. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
What do you have for us today?
Oh, I'm a big fan of Toaster Ghost. It helps that Christian's my son.
What's it like to have a rock and roll son, Andy? I know probably not every dad would think, you know, I hope my son grows up to be a lead singer and guitar player in a rock band.
Oh, no, actually, I couldn't be prouder. Those guys sound great. I am actually a big fan.
Did they ever rehearse in your basement? Did they cause or your garage?
No, they kind of spared us most of that.
Maybe that's why you're such a big fan.
But Christian did a lot of his formative sounds here at home. But
that's awesome. Were you a musician yourself, Andy?
No, I was in choir in high school. I did a lot of singing. Been a big fan of music in general.
Sure, you'd have to have a kid grow up and be in a rock and roll band. I think that's awesome. And what's it like to see him playing on stage?
Oh, my heart swells. It's just great. It's great to see him. I love the sound of Toaster Ghost, and you know, they come up with new sounds and things that can't normally dream of. It's just kind of amazing to hear what they come up with.
Yeah. Andy, you made my heart swell there. And Christian, that's pretty cool to have a supportive family behind you when you're trying to build a rock and roll band.
It's a huge, huge thing. Yeah. I very much appreciate it. And I don't know if, you know, to the point of talking about practicing in the basement, I'm not sure if my mom would have allowed drums in the house. If somebody was playing on a drum kit, she probably would have jumped on somebody's throat. But
that's very cool. Let's go next to Becky in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Becky.
Hi,
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Do you know Toaster Ghost?
I do. Longtime fan. I've got their merch and everything. Fantastic band. Very talented.
How did you come across them?
I know Christian.
Wow. So you're connected, and Becky, I appreciate the call. How would I be able to see Toaster Ghost? Are you guys got any shows coming up?
Yeah, let's see. Next show we're doing is at the Popcorn Tavern. We're playing, I got to look now. May 17th?
May 17th,
yeah.
Popcorn Tavern. And, all right, and you'll have Cheech's Deez Fest in July, so you've got that going for you, too. Becky, I want to go back to you for a moment and ask you what it is about their music that you love, what you hear from them, and how it relates to other music that you listen to.
I love their style. They're very talented, awesome guitars, just really rocking band, and very talented. I can't say enough good about them.
It also seems a little experimental, too. Like, the songs I've heard are not retreading ground that I've heard before. They're not the songs that are necessarily already in the zeitgeist of pop music.
Right, and I like zeitgeist. I hate that reference. But they are original.
Yeah.
And they don't fit in. I mean, they have their own style, which I think is awesome.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you for the call, Becky, because I have an email here from Ernie who wants to know your influences. And from what I've heard, you're really hard to pin down. So I'll ask both of you. Christian, let's start with you. What sort of artists influenced you?
Well, I mean, these days, you know, I think especially for this band, bands like Pavement and the Flaming Lips, Television's a big one, more these days, like kind of bands like Fugazi as well, like Jesus Lizard. I don't know. I pull all sorts of Devo. I mean, I love all sorts of stuff, and I try to incorporate as much of that as I see fit, or you know, as we can, I guess.
Yeah, it's your references are all over the map, and that begins to help explain how unique the sound of Toaster Ghost is. Jerry, what about you? Who are your influences? Where is your music coming from?
So definitely the bands Christian named, you know, we oftentimes play covers of bands we like. So we'll do a Devo song now and then, Fugazi, even The Pavement once in a while. We've done a couple of XTC songs. I'm a huge fan of XTC. Let's see, T-Rex.
Beck.
Yeah.
Yep, Beck.
Wow. When you talk about them, I can hear them all like cooking in a pot and coming out as Toaster Ghost. We've got time for one more song here. Let's listen to this. Is Toaster Ghost's Atomic Nerves. Running out of time here, but the tension release as the Atomic Nerve starts. Christian, this song goes back to about the beginning of the band, doesn't it?
Just a little before, yeah. I had been sitting on, kind of bits and pieces of it. I had the verse and the chorus down, but like with VCR Teeth, Jerry, you know, helped me out with the outro, which also became the intro that you heard there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that once we had all the parts, everything kind of came together quickly on it. But, just one of those songs that, like, again, messing around with chords and like had something that I thought sounded kind of cool and kind of built little melodies off of it.
but I didn't really know, you know, I wasn't sold as it being like the final, you know, final thing. So that's one thing that I've always really appreciated, especially as we've been doing this, you know, the last few years. Every one of us kind of has their own ability to see a song in a certain way and add something to it. You know, if I'm stuck,
yeah,
you know, Jerry will have something or Corey will have some notes.
Kristen, I apologize. We are out of time, and I thank you for yours. It's Toaster Ghost on the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today. Thanks to our DJ once again, Jeff Robbins. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod. Our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. This is WPR News.